Our fourth outcome says, outline the principles of personal and corporate worship and describe how to practice them as a lifestyle. In its article, What Does the Bible Say About Worship?, gotquestions.org provides us with some helpful points for this outcome. It notes that in the Bible, worship describes both a way of life and a specific activity. Praising, adoring, and expressing reverence for God, both publicly and privately, are specific acts of worship. In a broader sense, worship refers to an overall lifestyle of serving and glorifying God and reflecting His glory to others. When the Old Testament prophet Jonah said, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land," in Jonah 1 verse 9, he was speaking of a lifestyle wholly dedicated to glorifying God. The Apostle Paul also defined worship as an all-encompassing way of life. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." The website Life Worth Finding suggests a helpful definition of biblical worship. Worship is when we give our deepest affections and highest praise to something. True worship of God is when we love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's when we prize God above everything else and put Him first in our hearts. As it says in Deuteronomy 6:4-5, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." You can worship God in many different ways. For example, by speaking, praying, singing, shouting, bowing, raising your hands, etc. Psalm 95 verses 1-2 urges us, "Oh come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise." The website gotquestions.org says that in John 4:23-24, Jesus made it clear that the physical location of our worship is no longer relevant. "But the hour is coming," it says, "and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." True worship, says the article, takes place on the inside, within our hearts or spirits, which is the dwelling place of God. Humans were created to worship God. The purpose of the church, beyond serving the Lord and spreading the gospel, is to worship God through Jesus Christ. God is the object of our worship. He alone is worthy of worship. Worshipping God means crediting to Him the absolute worth that He alone deserves. He is our Creator, Redeemer, and Lord. The Father and the Son receive worship. The holy angels worship God and refuse to be worshipped themselves. A biblical concept of worship includes praising God and giving Him glory with our lips and our lives, with our words and our deeds, with our physical bodies and our spiritual hearts. Worship that pleases God is authentic, offered with clean hands and a pure heart. With respect to corporate worship, the following verses are very important. 1 Corinthians 14:12, "So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church." 26 says, "What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up." Ephesians 5:19 says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. And Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and thankfulness in your hearts to God. Bobby Jamieson, in his article, What is Corporate Worship For?, says, in at least three places, Paul argues that one of the primary goals of what we call corporate worship is to edify the whole church. In the assembly, we should do all things in order to build one another up. We sing to address God, yes, but also to teach and admonish one another. This is not to say that edification is more important than worship, as if the two are in competition, but it does mean that even those corporate activities in which we address God directly, singing praises, giving thanks, should have an explicitly horizontal focus as well. In other words, corporate worship is firstly aimed at glorifying God, but at the same time it builds up the congregation.